We are taking a break from our Philippians study for now. And I got to admit, this sermon today, as I was driving up here, I thought, where do rabbit trails go when they get snowy? Like, I mean, I was thinking, where do rabbits burrow? But anyway, we're going to do some burrowing here. And, we mentioned a few weeks back, Jim Elliot, who was one of those missionaries that was martyred back in 1956. And he used to always pray, right? Because when you do a sermon of any kind, I'm not even sure this qualifies as a sermon, but you gather, your stuff. And it's kind of like just starting a fire. And he used to always just pray, Lord, take these little sticks and ignite them. And so that's what I'm hoping happens today. Usually, right, you have a snow day, service canceled. Oh, I'll just take my sermon and use it next week. Easy peasy. But there were some things that would have only made sense if I'd have talked about them last week. So this will not be a complete rerun. No, in fact, something new happened this past week. I'll share that in a moment, too. First of all, speaking of reruns, so thank you to everybody who participated in our Zoom Bible study this past Wednesday. I wanted to replay that video. A couple weeks back, as you know, we had some technical issues with my computer. And by the way, Lily, your Nana, figured out how to get her camera to work. It's just a click of the mouse, and so here I am. I didn't find that click of the mouse till I got home. So we couldn't have our Bible study a couple weeks back, but it was the last Sunday we were at St. Mark's. So we weren't able to have the study, although a few of us, right? We had Mark and Kathy and Wolf, and we got a visit from a guy named Dan. Dan, he just saw the lights on and came over. Now, he's a follower of Jesus. In fact, he came out to the luncheon at St. Mark's yesterday. So we had a good time there. We were doing our study with Lee Strobel called The Case for Christmas. So we made contact with a new friend, and God has reason even for the most frustrating bits of technology that you go through. Because when I got home that Wednesday night, all I had to do was turn my microphone on. I found some YouTube video. Here's how you fix this. God knows. But I want to make sure, and I wanted to make sure, that as many people as possible could get to see that session from Lee Strobel that most of you missed. So now we're still going to finish off this study, Lord willing, this Wednesday. So I've looked at the last two, and I've picked the last one, because I figured we get it. Right, we get it. We get the point. And then we'll give a break for Christmas time, and then make Mark real happy, and the rest of us too, with that Jada Edwards study. But I was just thinking, and I brought the little book with me just to remind me. Like, it's called The Case for Christmas. But last Wednesday's video answered a question that somebody had a couple weeks back, and the question was asked: aren't there other ancient stories that sound very familiar to the story of Jesus? And Lee Strobel addressed that first by looking at the story of a mythical god named Mithras. I had never heard of Mithras, but it is said long before Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, there's a story of this man who was born of a virgin in a cave on December 25th. He apparently had 12 disciples. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again 3 days later. The story of Mithras was actually known before Christ's birth in Bethlehem. And these kinds of stories have caused many in our day to say, well, when it comes to Christianity, it's just a copycat religion. No, it's been borrowed from this and other ancient stories. And is that true? Well, those of you who are there will know. We discovered, no, it's not true. This is not a borrowed story. And as Lee Strobel says, we got all kinds of evidence for the identity of Jesus. But I was thinking, though, of the proliferation in our day, over the last 20 or 30 years, the rise in popularity of certain books. Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. It was actually turned into a movie. Books like The God Delusion, written by Richard Dawkins. Christopher Hitchens' bestseller, God is Not Great. Now, if you're not familiar with any of these, I can tell you, many of your neighbors will have almost certainly read them. Wow, I guess there is no God. I didn't know this. They didn't tell me this when I was going to church as a kid. Now, when we think about stories from Greek mythology, Babylonian mythology, right? Do you know, I was taking some courses at a local seminary a number of years back. Oh, I'll have you know. But I met professors there. And they were now referring to our Christian mythology, our Jesus myth. Now, there are two main definitions for the word myth. Most of us, when we hear that word, we actually think of the second definition, which is that of a widely held but false belief or idea. For instance, when we were kids, maybe some of you will remember your teacher said, you cannot pick a trillium, it's against the law. It isn't, but I don't know, I guess they didn't want us to pick trilliums. So it was a myth. It wasn't true, but a lot of people still proclaimed it. Myth can also refer simply to a traditional story, one concerning the early history of a people. Maybe it explains some kind of natural or social phenomenon, typically involving supernatural beings or events. So at the seminary, I think, and I was going to actually look at Sean at this point and say, Sean, what do you think? Right? Because I'm thinking those professors were using the term, you know, in more of that way, that it's, you know, referring to a real, I mean, they still believe the story is true, don't they? Don't they? And I can picture him now going, yeah, or do they? And the scary thing is that many of today's church leaders and preachers are being trained in places like this. I encountered more than a few things that really alarmed me as I dabbled in some higher education. I mean, when we tell others about Jesus, we are not just sharing our story, our myth. Is the story of Jesus just our nice little story? Right? No more important, no more real than anybody else's story? You know, maybe this whole Christian message, well, you know, it just makes you feel better when you go to sleep at night. Our story is no more special than anybody else's story, eh? Do you know the Bible warned us of all this, by the way? And I suddenly realized this is the only scripture that I'm going to make Jeremy put on the screen for us. But Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. He said the time will come, well, it's here, Paul. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That, by the way, is both in liberal and conservative Christian circles. And then verse 4 says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And as I think about it, you know, any of those very popular modern atheist books I mentioned earlier, I believe those authors are counting on one thing. They know this, and it's why getting out their message has become so successful in our day and age. It's happening right now, and they know it. Now, all right, I'm going to say something that may just sting you a little bit, but it's got to be said, and I'll keep it brief, and I'll end with something more encouraging. But these authors count on the fact. Okay, we can even bring Satan into this. Now, I don't mean these human authors are devil worshipers. They don't believe in him either. But part of those last day warnings that we get in the New Testament, you've maybe seen this when you're reading through the Bible. They'll mention the phrase doctrines of demons or things taught by demons. So these are the ones that are behind every deception. But what these human authors know is that most people, even good church-going folks, most people in North America, and we can add Europe, they really don't know much at all about God. They don't know much about Jesus Christ. They don't know why they believe what they believe. Right now, at age 12, they brought us all down and we all got confirmed. Large cathedrals that used to be filled on Sundays are now, you know, museums. They're open for tourists. Church buildings are now being turned into apartments. Maybe somebody's nice big home or even a restaurant. Places where once the gospel was preached. And many people especially do not know their way around this book anymore. You know, even many older folks, many of us have never really graduated from those days when we were children, right? Coloring pictures of giraffes and elephants on Noah's Ark, or hearing the stories of David and Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den on Sunday mornings. People who insist that we post copies of the Ten Commandments, for instance. Oh, yeah. But how many of us can name all ten? And don't ask me where to find it in the Bible. It's in there somewhere. We know it. We know it. We believe this is the Word of God from cover to cover. I have a Bible, I'll have you know. It's sitting right there on my shelf. Yep, sitting right there on my shelf. I've met people, they've been Christians for half a century. They'll know John 3:16 off by heart. Their favorite psalm is the one, you know, the one that starts about the Lord is my shepherd? Yeah, that one, I like that one. But don't quiz them on a whole lot more. Have you met people like that? Now, ask them about the batting averages of their favorite baseball player, or who's the top goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now. That they can tell you. In fact, they bet money on that stuff. Okay, I'm ragging on you too hard now, aren't I? I'm about to get a lump of coal in my stocking this Christmas. I got to stop. Oh, and by the way, I wish I knew my way more around this book. I've wasted so much time, even years. But hey, cheer up. Here we are. It's Advent. Less than 1 month from now, we're going to start a brand new year, let alone Christmas. 2026 is coming. Hey, do you make resolutions? Okay, now I know. I will just say this for the benefit of all the guys in here. Fellows, you know this. You will need to find some new socks and underwear under the tree this Christmas. But if somebody asks you, you know, what do you want for Christmas? Hey, maybe you could say, you know, I wouldn't mind a good Christian book. Maybe an easier to understand Bible. I got the Bible like the Gideons gave me in grade 5. You know, like maybe it's time for something different. Maybe a daily devotional. But resolve, starting in 2026, or maybe what's now left of 2025. Get to the place. Now, it happens little by little, over time. But get to the place where your faith cannot be shaken. Because so many are ditching it. Get to the place where your faith cannot be shaken by arguments that sound good on the surface, but don't actually hold up when they're examined. We found that out last Wednesday. You know, once you do some fact-checking. Oh, okay. So make sure you know why this story of Jesus is true. Don't just believe me. Make sure you know why there are billions of people all over this planet, all over this globe. By the way, the world is not flat. We're losing our minds. Make sure you know why so many sane and thinking people actually believe this story. Reasonable. Thoughtful people. They're in church every Sunday. In fact, those of you who are listening to this online right now, I can tell you, I am looking at several of them right now. Very reasonable, thinking persons. And make sure you know why. 2,000 years later, not only are many people devoted to following Jesus, that's why you braved those roads coming out here, or made sure you were right here at 10:30 or, well, 10:45 when we started the service, but make sure you were here. You were there on Zoom, you know. And then begin to ask yourself, hey, How come there are entire governments that want to put a stop to this story? They want to ban this story. They want to ban this book. Now, we know in places like Nigeria, they're even ending the lives of anybody caught reading or distributing this book. Anybody who says, I'm going to be a Christian. You know, you live in China, for instance, and you... Oh, by the way, okay, don't do this now because you won't remember the rest of this sermon, but have a look at the back of your Bible sometimes. You'll probably discover it was printed in China. But you go read your Bible in China, oh, they're going to start investigating you. Why? Because it is not just another nice story, is it? No, there's a power in this story. It's a story that even makes powerful people afraid. I mean, after all, if this story is not true, why bother anybody who believes in it? Why ruin their fun? No, it's true. Now, okay, I won't get into this because I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is because I keep seeing all kinds of misleading information. But, you know, some of you have heard about this Bill C-9 that's coming up. And, you know, I was watching a totally different story on the news the other day. And some other thing that the province of Quebec is doing. Do you know what the number one value in Quebec is?
Speaking French.
Well, that's number two. Very good, though. Not poutine, although we certainly thank them for it. Oh, and this isn't against anybody from Quebec. But the number one value in Quebec these days is secularism. Huh? I mean, not freedom, not, you know, the pursuit of wealth and happiness. No. Secularism is the number one value in the province of Quebec. I don't think that value is number one in the lives and minds and hearts of the majority of Canadians in the other provinces and territories. No, we are a religious bunch in this country, you know. Many different faiths, obviously. But we're okay if somebody wants to wear a head covering. We're okay with that. And while I'm thinking of it, okay, those verses from 2 Timothy where Paul mentions sound doctrine. Okay, now I know people who don't know much about doctrine because we see things differently. But I know, and I've even been one of these myself, I know people who treat this entire Christian faith as some kind of a scholastic thing. You know, everything is just systematic, textbook kind of belief. Everything is easily explained. Everything's so cut and dry. We got God in a little box, and we won't let him out of that box. Oh no, not here. He's in a box, and we're going to keep him this way. And when we have our faith like that, then suddenly, first of all, the Holy Spirit is not allowed to move. But then also, we begin to use this book as ammunition for why I can't be friends with you. Oh no, you believe that? Oh no. No, you and I can't be friends. We're going to spend eternity together in heaven, but, well, you'll be in the bad part of heaven. That's all. Did you like that? Bless your heart. I just made it up now. But isn't it true? And, I always remember this now. It came from Pastor Jim Cimbala. He said, listen, if you don't enjoy worshiping, first of all, If you've got something against people of a different color than you, why in the world would God ruin your eternity by taking you to heaven? Why would he ruin your eternity by making you spend time with those people? They don't even speak English. No. Every tongue, kindred, tribe, nation, all over this world. Now, true Christianity is very much based on the Word of God, yes, and good doctrine. But true Christianity is, above all else, a very much spiritual, supernatural kind of thing. Something really happens inside of your heart when you open it up to God through Jesus Christ. This isn't just, you know, making sure your name is on a church membership list somewhere. No, when you embrace Him as your Lord and Savior, and so when you read this Bible, you can use this book to help you listen to what God's Spirit is saying to you. So get into that habit, and don't feel like you have to read big, lengthy passages of Scripture all the time. Sometimes that's a very good thing. But there is something about the Holy Spirit bringing to life, not only as you read those words, but as you let them roll around in your mind, you meditate on them a bit, you contemplate. And the Bible will do this in a way that no other book does. Christianity does this. It's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, if He's allowed to operate, will operate in a way that no other belief system can do. Ours is a spiritual thing. Day by day, month by month, year by year, you will surprise yourself when you discover that you are not the same person. Not the same person you were. So, get your devotional book or something for 2026. You'll discover you're not the same person you were today, 1 year from now. You'll be able to say, no, you know what? God is doing a work in my heart and life. My way of thinking is changing. My lifestyle is changing for the better, actually. Oh, I'm far from perfect. But you know, I'm beginning to even like who I'm becoming right now. Now, I mentioned earlier, God knows the reason why things happen, even frustrating things like technology. Okay, let me just share this, what happened with me last week. Well, we got cake downstairs. You'll be fine. What caused me to rewrite? Did you know this was actually going to just be my introduction to a sermon? But I thought, well, here we are. It's the whole thing. This past Tuesday morning, I got a call from Mary. She let me know that on the CBC radio that day, starting at 9 a.m., the program The Current with Matt Galloway was going to talk about the current rise in popularity of Christianity in Canada among young people, especially. And for the first time in Canada, and we were talking about this on Wednesday night, weren't we? Yeah, Nelma brought it up. For the first time in Canada, at least in recent history, did you know the number of younger people who attend church is actually higher than the number of older Canadians who still do? Something like 22% of 15 to 34-year-olds are probably in church today, compared to about 15% of people over 50. How's this for a statement? They made this on the CBC, and they used the word religious because the commentator didn't fully understand it. He was, you know, talking to a reporter. But at this moment, the younger generation, in many ways, is more religious than their grandparents' generations. What do I mean by that? Or what do they mean by that? Because they were searching for the word for it. You know, when I was growing up, there was a social pressure. People told you, no, good people go to church. Good people go to church. So, we went to church. There's no pressure today to go to church. Heavens, good people don't necessarily even believe in God. And yet, youth are beginning to go against the grain of their culture. I referred to it earlier, I just like thinking about someone, you know, we were all just herded down at the age of 12 to go to confirmation. That's what you do. There's no pressure now to do any of that anymore. And yet youth are beginning to go against the grain of their culture. In my day, you were pressured to go to church. In this day, no. What do you need church for? But people who have been raised on books by Richard Dawkins and Dan Brown, they are starting to give church and the message of Jesus a fresh try. That's a very brave thing to do, by the way, these days. But just listen to some of these quotes I jotted down. And I wanted to share them with you while they were still fresh in my mind. Time and time again, people being interviewed on that CBC program, they all seem to say the very same thing. They have found that agnosticism, and particularly they mentioned secularism. Remember the number one value of one of our provinces? They simply said secularism is actually not that satisfying. And all of this freedom, all of this happiness they were promised to experience, right? Now that it was okay to have nothing to do with God, now let go of all the shackles of that. It has left them anxious, lonely, and more depressed than in any previous generation. The one young man that was on there being interviewed, he said, secularism to him is a failed experiment. Younger people have found in the message of Jesus a calmness, a sense of order in the midst of all the disorder that their lives have become. And in a community of fellow believers, they don't feel quite as lost in this world. There's a renewed energy. There's a joy. There's a fulfilling of something deep inside, and they can't explain it. The young reporter being interviewed by Matt Galloway, she has also made a return to Jesus. Now, she was raised in a very conservative home, a Christian home, kind of a bubble, though, and that bubble burst when she was growing up. Now, she's still on a journey, and she's still wrestling with some things. And if you listen to the program, you'll know she's going to have to encounter a few things as she begins this Christian journey, just as we all do. But she's 24 years of age now, a reporter. She's still grappling with hurts from church that she experienced growing up. Still lots of answers, lots of answers she wants to find to her questions. But she said something, and this quote I think I'll never forget. She said, it's a weird time to be 24. I know some of us have to look back a long ways, but do you remember when you were 24? I can tell you now, nothing is the same. Nothing. Now, let's be clear. It's not the majority who are flocking to church. No, but what is happening is very much the result of secularism in our society. You think God's done just because we vote something in that doesn't agree with our Christian faith? No. I wonder if people like Christopher Hitchens have done us a favor. Their message is leaving people hungry. And some, as they said on that show, there are people on the one hand who want nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with this message, no. And there are people on the other hand who are now seeing this. No, this is something I really need. I can't explain everything, but I really need this. I got to at least investigate it. What's disappearing is what they said on the show, and they called it the messy middle. That's disappearing. And when you think about it, that's exactly what Jesus taught. He says, you're either for me or you're against me. There is no middle ground. In fact, it made him sick when he talked about lukewarm people. This is why you and I'm finally getting to the end of my message here. But this is why you and I, who are older, have been followers of Jesus for a while, we must stay in the truth. Not maintaining just the form of godliness and denying its power. We got through a whole generation doing that, maybe even two. But the younger people in your life are depending on you. Well, they won't tell you. But they are depending on you, and they are looking to you. First of all, to allow them to ask even the hard questions. Oh, boy, when I was a kid in church, that wasn't encouraged. No, you just believe what we... But allow young people to ask you, and they're going to ask some really weird questions. So you have to have some real answers. You have to. Well, this was going to be the introduction to my sermon, but as you see, it's the whole sermon. My time is up. I believe next Sunday we will light that little pink candle of joy. So we probably will get back, maybe some of those verses in Philippians. I'm actually thinking about talking about the mother of the Lord. But have a look at them over there. Look at those two little candles. They're just shining their little hearts out, aren't they? They're proclaiming, for whoever wants to hear it, hope and peace. And real hope and peace, it arrived that night in Bethlehem. The light has dawned. And it shines right here in the depths of our hearts. As I was sharing with somebody recently, I look out, I see all these little temples of the Holy Spirit. We think this is the house of the Lord. No, it's not. You are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And as I look out over these temples, over this room, out there on Zoom, the rumor Zoom, it's shining right here in these hearts. I can see it. Hope and peace. They were wrapped up in those swaddling cloths one Bethlehem night. Our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace has arrived. He's here. And I was just thinking, well, yeah, there you go. Whoever put that banner up there, I don't know if you know, goes back a ways, doesn't it? It's been here ever since I got here. But look at it from Isaiah 40, right? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You waiting on stuff? You will renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's there for us every Sunday to be reminded of. Keep putting the government of your life on His shoulders.